Good morning to you all, and thank you. We have an exciting day in store for us because God's holy presence is going to be here with us as we worship together. But a couple of things. We have the Boy Scouts who have provided the pancake breakfast this morning. They have done the ushering for us. They're going to take the offering. And so how grateful we are for you being with us today. And then we're going to have the Rancho Santa Marta commissioning. We have people who are going to go down and minister to those in Mexico.
Donna Perry and Mike Clark are coming up to lead us in the commissioning time for the Rancho Santa Marta short-term mission team.
Thank you. We can have our Rancho Santa Marta team make their way forward. It's my privilege to introduce to you our 2019 Rancho Santa Marta mission team. This year we have 38 people who are registered to go, 31 adults and 7 young people. Of our 38 people, 16 are newcomers to the team this year, so we're very excited. So as you all know, Rancho Santa Marta is an orphanage down in Mexico, in Baja California. Our church has supported Rancho Santa Marta for about the last 11 years. And we go down, and it's mostly a work project during the week. So we're laying concrete or building buildings or tearing down old buildings and doing things like that. So it's a wonderful week. We also do teaching and support for the staff that's down there. They have about 40 children who live on the ranch year-round. These are kids who have been orphaned in Baja California. They have about another 200 students who come on campus Monday through Friday for school. Some of these students travel 2 hours each way to go to the school because it's really one of the best resources. So it's kind of an oasis for God's people, reaching out to the Baja Peninsula, and it's our privilege to be a part of that and serve down there each year. So at this time, Donna will lead us in our litany for the team.
Family and friends, it is my joy to present to you our congregation's 2019 Rancho Santa Marta Mission Team. Will you please help me commission the team by joining in the responsive reading on the big screen? You are the team chosen by God and acknowledged by this congregation to serve at Rancho Santa Marta this year. Do you accept this commission to go and serve in the name of Jesus? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And do you commit yourselves to serve God with energy, intelligence, creativity, faith, and love? If so, please say, I do.
We do.
And will you conduct yourselves in a worthy manner as ambassadors for Jesus? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Members of the congregation, do you acknowledge and recognize these team members as your representatives at Rancho Santa Marta? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And do you, members of the congregation, agree to support the team with encouragement and prayer? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Please join me in the following unison prayer. Guiding and loving God, please empower this team to be your hands and feet in Mexico. Help us to glorify you by loving and serving others. Empower them as witnesses of your great love and compassion. Please bless them, protect them, guide them, unify them, inspire them, and fill them with your Holy Spirit. That they will be fully equipped to fill your call at Rancho Santa Marta. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In a moment, we'll distribute baskets with cards containing the names of the members of our team. Please take a name out of the basket and pray for that person over the next 2 weeks. We need your prayers for the trip to be successful. Thank you.
In just a moment, Pastor Bob and I are going to turn you loose to greet each other. But before we do that, this is, as Pastor Bob noted, Scout Sunday. And we do some special things on Scout Sunday, including receiving the charter from our Scout packs and Scout troops. And so I would like to invite Larry Grace, Dave Brogard, and Stephanie Bonus to please join us. They are the adult leads for our local Scout troop. And if I could borrow your microphone, please, Pastor Bob. I know that they are, they're going to do introduce one of our Scouts to us.
Right, I'm Dave Brogard. I'm in the Chartered Organizational Representative, which serves as the interface between the Scout Council, the troop, and our church. And we have Socket Dongi, who has been serving as our chaplain's aide this year and coordinated the ushers and the greeters, as well as coordinating the effort for the breakfast this morning. Troop 407 has been here since 1964, and our Cub Pack has been here since 1986. And I'd like to thank you in our congregation for the support we've had during all that time. And we have, first of all, a charter from our pack, and I go ahead and present that to Pastor Morgan at this time.
As a scoutmaster, Scoutmaster of the troop, I repeat what Dave said. We thank the congregation for all the support you've given this troop for, 55 years? I think we're in our 55th year here working with the troop. Thank you all sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. And we also have the charter for this year for Troop 407, if I don't drop it on the floor. Pastor, thank you very much for your continued support for the troop also. And Stephanie is our committee chair.
Thank you guys all for your support in scouting. We really do appreciate it, and we really appreciate you providing a home for our troop for this many years.
And I would say that if any of you have youngsters in the Cub Scout or Boy Scout age, that's from probably first class through seniors in high school, they are certainly welcome to come. We meet every Monday night here in McCaddy Hall, 7:15. They're welcome to come and join us in a wonderful scouting program.
Thank you very much. And would you say thank you again to them? And once again, welcome and thank you for coming to worship today. We would love to have you check in. We have a register here on the end of the pews. Would you just hold those up? They look black. And that's it. Okay. And if you would just write your name in there and give us your contact information, we'd like to say thank you. Did you want to say something? Am I jumping ahead of you?
Nope, not at all. Did the kids get released? Yes. Sorry about that. Please go. Would every parent please go and thank Monica for her amazing work and for her patience with Pastor Morgan when he forgets to release kids when they're supposed to? That would be really great. I appreciate that.
Okay, good. Thank you. Is that all?
That's it.
You may be seated.
Okay.
And also we have yellow cards in the pews in front of you. If you have a prayer request, you can put that down. And you can put it in the offering plate as they pass the plates this morning. And you can check that to be confidential if you like. But we have a team that prays for those requests each week. And so in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to greet everybody. We're going to want to make sure we greet all of the Scouts. But I have a question. Are there any in our congregation who earned the rank of Eagle Scout? Would you stand? Wow. And do we have any who didn't earn the rank but were in the Boy Scouts? Did you just stand? Okay, great. And Bill, did you get past Tenderfoot? You did. Oh, he did. Okay, good. Okay, so we're going to stand. And some of the people that you saw that stood who were Eagle Scouts, would you greet them? But make sure we greet the Boy Scouts up here. So stand and greet each other this morning. Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. It is a story that's kind of famous. that gets told often. It's a story about a man named Bartimaeus, often referred to as blind Bartimaeus, because as you're going to see in the story, he's blind. And one of the things that happens in all the stories about Jesus that happens over and over again is that Jesus heals people. He heals people and he feeds people and he casts out evil spirits from people. And he does these three things over and over again as a way of showing that God is actually breaking into our lives. He's breaking into our experience right now. Sometimes people get the idea that Christianity is about if you behave really well and you don't make God mad, then when you die, you get to go to heaven. But that's actually not what Jesus taught, and that's not what Jesus demonstrated. What Jesus taught and demonstrated was that the kingdom of God, the transformative power of God, is available right this very moment, and here it comes. And that's what Jesus does over and over again. Here's the power of God, and it shows up immediately. Here it comes. The question becomes, where is it that we participate? How do we get involved in the kingdom? And the short answer is, we ask. We ask. Now, the question really then becomes, what keeps us from asking? Why don't we just ask? And I think that the story that we're going to read today gives us some clues about why that is. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. They, that is Jesus and his disciples, came to the town of Jericho. And he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. And when we hear the scripture, we often say, "Thanks be to God." So let's all say that together. Thanks be to God. We give thanks for this story because it reveals something really powerful about who God is in our lives and about how Jesus reveals that to us and makes God available to us. So let me ask this question. What keeps us from asking? What keeps us from asking for our deepest desires, our longings to have transformation happen in our life? What keeps us from doing that? I imagine if we went around the room, we could come up with lots of answers that we might give to that. Why don't we ask God for things, right? Why don't we express it? But the three that kind of come to my mind as I look at the story are, first, we're pretty much convinced that either that God doesn't care, right? Why pray? Because God doesn't care. Maybe that includes God isn't really exist. And if God does exist, then why would God care about me? Why would God care, right? A second reason why we don't ask for God to show up in our lives is because we think we don't deserve it. Why would God do this for me? Why would God even care about me? And I'm not a very good person, or maybe the thing I want isn't what God wants me to have, or doesn't want to do this in my life. So I'm probably not worthy of it in some way, right? Either God doesn't care, or I don't deserve it. And the third one is the most obvious one. It's not possible. It'll never happen. It's just never going to take place in my lives, right? Those are the three biggies, it seems to me. Three big reasons why we don't ask for our longings and our deepest desires. And this text suggests that all three of those don't count. Right? All three of those don't count. And Jesus demonstrates that. First, God doesn't really care. But Bartimaeus, he's willing to cry out and say, God, have mercy. Have mercy. God, Bartimaeus knows something that sometimes we don't think about or don't even fully acknowledge, and that is that God, by God's nature, is merciful. We don't use that word very often, do we? Merciful. We don't talk about mercy. What is that? Mercy is this loving kindness and care that doesn't have anything to do with deserving or earning, right? It just says, I care about your hurt. Wherever you're hurting, that matters to me. God cares. God cares a whole bunch. And throughout the Bible, we hear the people of God crying out over and over again saying, God, have mercy. Mercy is something that God is. God is merciful, therefore we can ask for it. So we immediately begin to have this notion that God doesn't care. That gets blown up immediately. Bartimaeus knows better. Bartimaeus knows better. God is caring. God is merciful. And if Jesus is the person I think he is, if he's the son of David, if he's the king, if he's the one in charge, if he's the one who speaks for God, then I know I can call out to him for mercy as well. God cares. Then the question is, do I deserve it? Do I really deserve it? Now, partly we can imagine that since Bartimaeus used to be able to see, but he can't see anymore, in Jesus' day, sometimes people thought of certain illnesses as being a result of sin. That Bartimaeus lost his sight because he'd done something bad. And we can imagine, can't we, that that might be part of the reason why people are telling him to be quiet. That he's saying to, when he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me, other people are like, you had your chance. Whatever, you blew it. That's why you're blind. Be quiet. You know, let the rest of us who haven't screwed it up yet, let us talk to Jesus. Let us spend time with Jesus. Don't worry about it, right? But I love the Gospel of Mark because it's brief. I love the Gospel of Mark because it's got lots of action in it. And I love the Gospel of Mark because Mark has the mind and the eye of a great movie director. And he always includes little words and phrases that give you really help you get a picture of what's going on in your mind. It really helps you see the scene, right? And in this scene, blind Bartimaeus is shouting out, and when Jesus says, come here, he throws off his cloak, Mark says. It's like, why does he add that? Because he wants us to have this picture of it. But here's the part about this story. My favorite line in this little story goes like this. Jesus stood still. Mark makes a point of saying Jesus stopped right where he was. He heard this cry for mercy. Other people are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, and Jesus stood still. Doesn't that say something about whether or not we deserve it? How Jesus doesn't care about that at all? That when Jesus hears somebody's heart cry, Jesus stands still. I think about this sometimes with my kids. My kids are like normal kids. They spend a lot of time looking at their screen. But there are certain moments when they will stop and they will look at me and they will ask for something. And it's that, and I just realize they spend so much time on their screen. When they're actually looking at me, this must be a big deal. And so I have to really be mindful that if I'm doing dishes or I'm focused on something else, a screen probably, that when they look away from their screen to look at me and ask for something, that's my clue. I need to look away from whatever I'm doing and give my full and undivided attention. My kids are 16 and 18. I don't have a long window left, right? Before they don't look at me at all. I won't even see these people. So when they look at me, that's a big deal. And I stop and I look at them. And I think about Jesus there. Jesus hears this person cry out, and he stands still. He stops everything he's doing. Can you imagine God stopping everything for you? I'm just going to set everything else aside. I just want to pay full attention to what you're asking for. That's the picture that Mark gives to us here. And then the question, of course, is the last thing. It's impossible. You lost your sight, it's gone. That's the way life goes. It's not possible. Bartimaeus doesn't have a problem with this either. Bartimaeus has so much courage, so much, the word here is faith. What is faith? Faith is a courage that's invested in the right thing or the right person. It's the courage to ask the right person who can help. And Bartimaeus knows as Jesus is walking through Jericho, getting ready to leave town, this is his last chance. He's going to leave, and if Bartimaeus doesn't cry out right now, Jesus is going to leave Jericho and never be seen again. And Bartimaeus is not going to let this chance pass him by. And so he cries out. Jesus stops, says, "What can I do for you?" He says, "Let me see again. Teacher, I want to see again." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Your faith, the fact that you knew and had the courage to ask the one who cares, and you didn't worry about whether or not you deserved it or not, you just asked. And you were able to name what you really, really want. Even if it seems impossible to you, God has heard that prayer." And immediately Bartimaeus regains his sight. Immediately his life is transformed like that. And he does the thing that all good people do when Jesus stops for them and meets them in their need. From that point on, Bartimaeus follows. Do you see that? God comes into his life, changes everything. He's like, "Well, I'm following God from here on in." Good story, huh? Here's the last idea I want to share with you, because I think this is a real challenge for us. I think the biggest challenge we face when it comes to praying and asking God for things is, and asking for the deepest desires of our hearts. And Bartimaeus clearly, you know, he's got a one item agenda. Right? I want to be able to see again. I think that part of the challenge for us is that we actually don't know what we want. Does that make sense? That we actually really don't know what we want. You know who we're like? We're like Jack Sparrow. You know who Jack Sparrow is, right? Captain Jack Sparrow. Thank you. That's right. Captain Jack Sparrow to you. Yes, Captain Jack Sparrow. And Captain Jack Sparrow has a compass. What does the compass point to? What does it point to? Do you guys know? What does the compass point to? Gold. It does point to gold sometimes. It doesn't always point to gold. What else does it point to? His desires. It points to the thing he wants most. So sometimes that's Elizabeth Swann. And sometimes that's the place he needs to go to get the magic he needs to once again avoid his enemies. He needs to find the place that doesn't exist on any map. Sometimes it depends. But then there are these moments when Captain Jack Sparrow opens his compass and the thing just spins. He's not sure what he wants, and it just spins. And now he's really in trouble, because this compass will take him, point exactly where he wants to go, to exactly the thing he wants most, except when he doesn't know what he wants. And now he's really stuck. And friends, and now I'm speaking to the church here. I think the church doesn't know what it really wants. We think we know. We think we want Jesus to come and transform our lives personally and corporately. We think we want that. But we also just want a bunch of people to come and fill the pews. And we just want life to be easier. And we just want a break. And we just want some relief from the exhaustion. And we just want our needs met. And we just want our kids to come back to church. And we just want our kids to move closer to us. And we just, you know, you see what's going on. That these things, that we're really not 100% sure what we really want as a church. And so we, instead of jumping up, throwing off our cloak, and coming to Jesus, following his voice so we can get in front of him and say, please help us see again. Help us see, have a vision for the future that we used to have. Help us to see the kingdom coming so that we can be a part of that. Instead of that, we sit and we remain quiet and Jesus just walks by. I want to share this story with you because we, like Captain Jack Sparrow, sometimes need to stop, close up the compass, and really think deeply in ourselves. What is the thing I really want? What is the thing we really long for more than anything else? At bottom, what's the one thing? And when we get to the bottom of it and we say what we really want is God's best. What we really want is God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. What we really want is God's justice and mercy and love, not just for myself, not just for the people I love, not just for my family and my friends, but for everybody. When we really, really want that, and we really, really cry out for that, and we really give away and get off of the notion that we don't deserve it, and we stop pretending as though it's impossible, Jesus stops. Jesus stops what he's doing. He stops everything. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Your faith is what's going to move this along. So where do we start? We start where Jesus stops. That moment when we say, this is the thing I really want. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? Do you believe that God actually cares? I think Christians, by and large, spend a lot of time thinking that God doesn't want what I want, or that God doesn't care about what I want, or that if I ask God for what I really want, he's probably going to give me the opposite. See, hear that laughter? That's because people actually, this is how we live. It's the game we played when we were kids that said, oh Lord, please don't send me to Africa to be a missionary. Because we were really afraid that's exactly what God might want to do. That God, what God really wants me to do is to be a missionary. I had a moment, an opportunity to speak with an incredibly wise man. He is one of the wisest people that I have ever had the opportunity to meet. And he's written some pretty important books. And a lot of other people think he's pretty wise too. His name is Dallas Willard. And I got to take a class with Dr. Willard. And for 2 weeks, he taught me and a bunch of other people about spiritual disciplines, about prayer and fasting and studying the Bible, about what it means to walk a rhythm in our day-to-day lives where we follow God. And anybody who wanted to could have a 45-minute appointment with Dr. Willard to talk with him one-on-one about whatever we wanted. And a lot of people, amazingly, they didn't even bother. Nobody wanted to have an appointment with him. Maybe they thought he was too important. Maybe they thought he was too busy. But I'm like, man, I want to do this. I was kind of like blind Bartimaeus. I want to talk to this guy. I really want to hear what he knows about Jesus. And at that time, I was living in Arizona, but I had just gotten a call to be a pastor in California. And people were looking at me like I was crazy. They're like, you don't go back to California. It's too expensive there. You can't afford a house there. You're never, no, don't do that. It's a bad idea. They're saying you're going the wrong way. But I felt God was calling me. And so as I sat with Dr. Willard, I shared with him my worries, my fears. I said, I'm bringing my young family, my youngest son at that time. He was a baby. He was a little guy. And I'm thinking, I shared with Dr. Willard that I really did believe that God was calling me to serve this church in California, but that the housing prices were so expensive, I didn't know how I was going to afford it, and maybe I shouldn't want a house. Maybe I shouldn't want a house for my family. Maybe I shouldn't worry about that. Maybe that's just not God's will for us to have a house. And I kind of shared all these worries, and I'd been really up in my head around all this, not really sure. And he said something to me that was so perfect at that moment, and maybe it'll be perfect for you at this moment. He simply said, ask Jesus for what you want, and then let him pull you straight. Ask Jesus for what you want, and then pull and let him pull you straight. Rather than try to figure out what it was that Jesus wanted for me, rather than trying to figure out what was right or wrong about my motivations, rather than spend all my time trying to get my request just so, I just asked. And I just kept on asking. And God did amazingly provide, miraculously, a wonderful home for us with wonderful friends and wonderful neighbors. And it was a great, great thing. Way greater than anything I could have imagined. This isn't about a faith that says, if you ask for it, God has to give it to you. This is a faith that says, you can ask. Ask for what it is you really want. And then as you keep asking, as you continue to hold that before God, let God shape, form, and pull you closer to the thing he longs most for you, which is your transformation, which is your fullness of life, which is a kingdom abundance, which is all this big, enormous stuff that we don't believe is possible and that God absolutely wants us to have. Where's your compass pointed this morning? Do you know? As it's pointed to that place, do you find yourself wondering, oh, God would never want that for me. Well, I don't deserve that. That's not possible. Or are you ready to say, I'm just going to ask. And I'll let God decide. Does that make sense? I love blind Bartimaeus. I love his courage. The courage to ask, which is faith. And we all, wherever we are, whether we know Jesus, whether we've never met Jesus before, or whether or not we've been following Jesus for our whole lives, wherever we are, we can ask. And my hope for each of us is that when you ask, you sense how God, revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, stands still, meets us in that place, and then brings out something brand new. Let us pray. Loving God, please help us to name, to know, and to express our deepest desires to you so that we may discover how much you care, how full of mercy you truly are, and that you meet us in our deepest desires, our longings. And it's out of those deep desires and longings that you transform us. And through us, you transform the world. May we ask boldly. May we see you do great things. Guide us in this new, richer life, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. We have 2 minutes before I give the benediction. With all the things that we did, with our commissionings and our receiving the charter, all that good stuff, we have 2 minutes left. They're your 2 minutes, and I do not wish to take them from you. Instead, I want to give them back to you that you may spend them with God. If I send you out this very moment, this message may walk right out of your head in the face of all the busy things you got to do. Instead, I want to give you 60 seconds that is just between you and God. And I want to invite you to ask God for what you really, really want.
Maybe you had a, maybe it was really easy for you to do that. Maybe it was impossible. Maybe that minute was just enough time to realize that you need more time. But whatever that is, know that God is hearing you. He's listening to the, what's in your heart, and God wants to hear more. So now receive this benediction. May the God who hears you, the God who sees your face, the God who knows your name, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, the God who is present with us through the power of the Holy Spirit, may this one true loving God now hold you, keep you, and send you out in peace to join Him in the fullness of the kingdom. Amen. Go in peace.